This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Wisconsin's stop on the PGA Tour Champions schedule is back in 2021. The tournament is this week, Friday through Sunday at University Ridge Golf Course, with a star-studded field headlined by tournament host Steve Stricker and defending champion Jerry Kelly. This great event has raised more than $10.2 million for local charities since it debuted in 2016, and a limited number of tickets are on sale at the tournament website, amfamchampionship.com. Alongside Gary D'Amato, I am Rob Hernandez. We are in the same place at the same time, Gary D'Amato, Talking.Golf, and we are doing it here from just behind the ninth green at University Ridge Golf Course. It's American Family Insurance Championship Week, and we couldn't ask for better weather. It's hot, it's humid, but it's summertime, and we're playing golf in Wisconsin. The tournament is back.
And, Rob, we are wearing the same shirt. I'm glad people can't see that. We've already taken some heat for that, Team Unis, but that's okay. Yeah, it's. I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I've been looking forward to it for a long time. We're going to have a lot of fun this weekend.
And this is the AmFam Report, brought to you by the American Family Insurance Championship. As we look at the tournament this week, Gary, you've been out here the last couple days, and you've talked to Steve Stricker. We're about to talk to Jerry Kelly here as we record the podcast. Talk to Mario Tiziani. The local flavor is great, but the field is great. Everybody except Kevin Sutherland out of the top 10 are here, and you couldn't ask for much more this week, could you?
No, the weather's great, and the players that I've talked to have raved about the course. Steve Stricker said yesterday the course is in the best shape he's ever seen it. They've done some bunker work in recent years, and the bunkers are great, and the fairways grass is really plush. Alex Chaco was in a little while ago talking to us and said the course reminds him a lot of the courses he grew up playing in Germany, but it's in great shape. It's a great field, and we're gonna have a good tournament this weekend.
The big news out of yesterday's news conferences were a contract extension for the tournament that will keep it on the PGA Tour Champions schedule through 2027. What do you make of that announcement, and what does it say about how successful this event has become?
Yeah, it really solidifies the tournament's position on the calendar now for six more years. And, you know, Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly will be 60 years old and maybe still playing. They'll probably play in this when they're 60, you know, if they're healthy. But it says a lot about how the community has supported this event. $10.2 million raised in the first 4 years of the tournament for charity. And, it says good things about the community involvement and where this tournament fits on the schedule.
As we look at the tournament field this week, the number one ranked player in the Charles Schwab Cup standings, it seems like he's been in that position for the better part of the last decade plus. Bernhard Langer, into his 60s, yet still playing at a high level. How do you evaluate the way that Bernhard Langer is ageless in this game?
Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, you look at him physically, he looks at least, you know, 15 years younger than his age, which is it 60 or 61 now?
I think he's 61.
61. He's been remarkable. I mean, really, more people should know about his story because the way he's kept himself in shape and kept himself competitive, all the putting changes he's had to go through because he's had some problems putting, and he's solved it every time. And his endurance, his stamina is just amazing on his tour. Someone that the rookies, the 50-year-old guys, can look up to and say, I hope I can do that in 10 years.
Well, and we talked to Alex Chaka today, who's from Germany. And again, his route to get to the PGA Tour Champions, much more, circular than Bernhard Langer's. He didn't have a great PGA Tour career. He had a solid PGA Tour career, but he's won two majors out here. He's not yet in the top 10, and according to what I saw in the media room here in the Schwab Cup standings, but only because he got a late start. I'm sure before long, the two major championships that he's won will catch up in terms of points as he keeps playing well in the regular events, and this is one of the first ones since he won the two majors. He's going to be a force this week.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Rob, how the Champions Tour, so many guys sort of reinvent themselves when they come on this tour. Maybe they didn't have the enormous success on the regular tour that they hoped to have, but they stayed motivated, they stayed in shape, they worked on their games because they know when they got here, if they played well, it would open a lot of doors. And we've seen this happen with a number of guys who had sort of average PGA Tour careers, and then they come out here and they light it up for a few years, and it looks like Alex Chaka could be one of those guys.
The common denominator in those, Gary, is you look at their bellies. If you can't see one, they're probably going to do pretty well out here.
Well, you were talking about Mario Tiziani. He came in for an interview a little while ago, and geez, he looks like he's about 35 years old. He's in great shape. Partly he's got to carry Steve Stricker's bag once in a while. I'm sure that's kept him in great shape. But yeah, these guys, the guys who really want to compete and play well out here, have really taken care of themselves.
Other guys from the Schwab Cup standings top 10 that are here: Ernie Els at number 2, Jerry Kelly at number 4, Miguel Angel Jimenez at number 5, Mike Weir 6, Retief Goosen 7, Scott Perrell 8, Robert Carlson 9, and Jim Furyk 10. You could really shuffle that deck any which way. Jim Furyk's at 10 because he doesn't play out here as much as some of the other guys do, because he can still play on the regular tour. But that seems to be a common theme among some guys that play out here, Steve Stricker being one of them. You don't want to give up the youth to be able to, you know, and kind of resign yourself to the Social Security tour, as you will. I mean, this is kind of, for a lot of guys, you're eager to get here, but not too fast. And Jim Furyk would fit that bill.
Yeah, there's a number of those guys. I mean, Steve Stricker fits that bill. Jerry Kelly fits that bill. I mean, he competed on the PGA Tour the first, you know, 2 or 3 years, and he was going on both tours. Now he's sort of consigned himself to the Champions Tour at age 54, but there's a lot of guys like that.
So as we look at the rest of this field here, Gary, Scott Perrell, number 8, Robert Carlson. Those are guys that maybe they don't, you know, the average golf fan might not recognize. Scott Perrell has been a grinder, and he's come out here and really done well in terms of, again, reinventing himself. And then Robert Carlson comes in from Sweden, and he comes in with the same kind of, I think, build, same kind of, you know, potential that an Alex Xhaka has.
Yeah, some of these guys aren't acting their age. You get those guys who are 50 and 51 that a lot of golf fans really don't know that well, but as we said, they come out here, they're eager to play, they want to compete, and you know, if they do well out here, they make a lot of money, and in some cases guys can make more money out here than they made on the PGA Tour, so that's a big motivating incentive factor too.
So you mentioned Mario Tiziani, Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly, the local contingent's pretty big this week, and then we have Andy North. You heard Mario Tiziani say, I don't think any of us really care how Andy North scores. It's just great to see a 71-year-old legend in our midst tee it up one more time here at the AmFam Championship.
Yeah, I know one person who's going to care what he shoots, and that's Andy North. The guy's got a lot of pride as a 2-time U.S. Open champion. You know what's inside of him. And, people don't expect much from him. He expects a lot from himself, and I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he put up a surprising number tomorrow.
And again, he's here in the tournament field because the Saturday shootout not part of the agenda this week, and because of COVID, and so he doesn't get to kind of leisurely stroll around with Brett Favre and a couple other legends that they've brought in the last few years. So that'll be different. But like you say, he's an entertainer, and I think even, you know, especially since he, you know, started his work at ESPN, he's become a lot more relaxed around, you know, a situation like this, and that's why he's here every year on Saturday. I hope he finds that same enjoyment this week.
I think he will, Rob. I mean, back when he was playing, he was one of those guys who was very intense and extremely focused, didn't want distractions around him, was very focused on his golf. He probably still will be, but I think he's going to look around and smile and wave to people in the gallery who have, you know, grown up watching him play golf. I think as competitive as he is, this is also going to be a really enjoyable weekend for him from that standpoint.
So no tournament last year. 2 years ago, we got the storyline we've been waiting for, you know, you and me covering the Greater Milwaukee Open for a lifetime. I mean, two Wisconsin guys in a playoff in this in-state PGA Tour sanctioned event. It can't get any better than that. I think Steve Stricker might contend that it would be a lot better if he could win this one year. Is that kind of the next storyline that would be the one that needs to, you know, maybe materialize this week to even outdo what Jerry Kelly did 2 years ago?
Yeah, maybe this weekend. Maybe we'll see Steve and Jerry battling again, and this time Steve comes out on top. That wouldn't surprise anybody, I don't think, the way Steve has played this year. He's played some very good golf. He struggled a little bit with his putter recently, but if he's got that fixed, look out. I mean, he'll be up there this weekend.
And we talked to Mario earlier. He hasn't played really competitively in over 10 years. Then he tees it up in the Minnesota State Senior Open last week and wins it with a 71-66. We talked about that last week on Talking.Golf. It was hard to kind of read Mario on the one hand. On the other hand, we've known him for so long, we can read him. He wants to do well.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, he's guy's got a big competitive fire. He comes from golfing, Wisconsin golfing royalty. His father and uncle, Dennis and Larry Tiziani, are in the Wisconsin Golf Hall of Fame. His brother-in-law is the Ryder Cup captain. I mean, everyone in his family plays competitive golf. And he doesn't want to come out here and amble around and shoot a couple 75s.
All right, before we wrap up the AmFam report here this week on Talking Dak Golf, who's your pick to win this week?
You know, I got to go with Stricker. I just think he's been close. He's playing great. I just think, you know, if he doesn't win, he's got a top five finish in him for sure.
Yep.
What do you think?
I think I'm going to go with a guy that we talked about in this Schwab Cup point standings. I like the way Robert Carlson has played lately.
Yeah.
And if you look at the way things have gone on the PGA Tour Champions with the emergence of Alex Chayka and then Dickie Pride, who played on a sponsor's exemption or a Monday qualifier recently, won an event. We're getting a lot of that group of these newly turned 50s without any type of exempt status out here, motivated to get out there and stay out there. And Robert Carlson is in most fields. He doesn't need to win to be playing throughout the season, but I think he's a guy that fits that early 50s mold that is in the kind of shape that you need to be in to play. I'm guessing, much like we heard from Alex Chayka, with this course looking a lot like the courses in Germany, I'm guessing that this course looks a lot of like the courses that Robert Carlson sees back home. I think he'll do well here. He's had a pretty good run of it. So he'd be my pick. But, you know, again, if you study the PGA Tour champions, there aren't going to be many weeks from Bernhard Langer, Ernie Els, Miguel Angel Jimenez, and with Jim Furyk in the field. And we haven't even talked about some of the other guys that, have had great moments out here this year. And, I see, Colin Montgomery's played well here. I know, We've had a lot of one-round wonders like Esteban Toledo. It's a three-round tournament. It's a shootout. Anything could happen. As you said, this course is in phenomenal condition. Of course, I've been in a lot of courses this week. You know, the weather here has allowed for conditions to be as good as you could ever want in golf. And I think they're going to be treated to some, they can get these greens going as fast as they want out here, can't they?
They can. And another guy we didn't mention, Mike Weir. I mean,
yeah.
He's had a really good run lately on the Champions Tour. Sort of fell off the map for a while, but kind of refound his game a little bit like Stricker did, years ago. And is playing some great golf. And, you'd have to consider him one of the favorites, too, this week.
Absolutely. So we'll see. Everything gets underway tomorrow. First tee time, Stricker, Jim Furyk, Fred Couples off the number one tee at 9:10. And then Corey Pavin, Chris DeMarco, Mark Brooks off the 10th tee at 9:15. And then right after Stricker's group off of one, Jerry Kelly, Scott McCarron, Kirk Triplett. Kind of funny that Kelly and McCarron are paired. I used when those guys would be out west, especially late in the season with that Schwab Cup series at Sherwood Country Club in Thousand Oaks. They would always do it based on their spot on the Schwab Cup standings. They were always 1-2. They'd always be in the first round together. And then ultimately maybe, round 2 or 3, same with the finals at Phoenix Country Club. They're good friends. They were hanging out at Maple Bluff last night. Jerry's mom was out playing some golf. And, this has really become kind of a, it's Steve and Jerry appreciate having this in their hometown because they really like to show this place off.
They do. And, there's other Wisconsin guys in the field. Skip Kendall, who we haven't talked about.
Yep.
Mario, we've talked about. So there's definitely a hometown feel and a community feel to this event that you don't find at a lot of golf tournaments.
So that's the AmFam report this week on Talking.Golf. Next up is What's Up, sponsored by our Instagram account or powered by our Instagram account at wis.golf on Instagram. Megan Augustine posting a lot of stuff this week, Gary, from... we were at the state women's match play on Monday and Wednesday. I went to a golf sectional on Tuesday down at North Shore Country Club. Let's start first, women's match play. Sarah Busey doesn't lead yesterday, the 2019 Player of the Year in Wisconsin out of Racine, and doesn't lead except on the final holes of both matches in the semifinals and finals. That's why we love match play, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to love match play for that reason. And I know she had a couple of very tough matches. She played Rachel Coughlin, right?
She played Rachel Coughlin early, and then she played Amy Cusera out of Fontana and Xavier University, and Rachel Coughlin coming off of her freshman year at Central Michigan. Gary, I want to share with you that we're standing outside the media's tent here next to a tree. Gary, if you look at the bottom of that tree, Rachel Coughlin's golf ball with a one-up lead on 17 was at the base of a tree just like that. And it was kind of dug out, so there was a little bit of a dip in there. Somehow she got a club behind the ball, was able to scoop one out onto the green about 8-10 feet on a par three, and she makes the putt to have the hole and take a one-up lead to 18. They wind up playing 18 four times before Sarah Busey wins with a par on the final hole. I love match play for that reason. And of course, you know, lurking on our calendar is the ultimate match play event, the Ryder Cup. I mean, this is why I wish we'd see more match play events.
Yeah, you know, a couple more match play events on the PGA Tour would go a long way in my estimation. But, you know, TV is a consideration with the unpredictability of when matches end. Some matches could end on the 13th or 14th hole. And I get that, but there's got to be a way to get more match play onto living room TV screens. I know I'd be buckled down watching.
I just think it's great. It's mano a mano. It's almost like, you know, watching the Bears and the Packers go at it sometimes. And to your point, yesterday, Amy Kucera's semifinal match with Kate Meyer ended on, it was a 6-5 match, so it ended at about noon. And I don't believe the Busey-Coughlin match ended until about 1:15, 1:30. And so that was the way it goes there. But and Amy Kucera made, you know, 5 birdies, no bogeys in that first match. And, you know, those are the buzzsaws you run into in match play. It just it makes it great. The other thing that's been great this week is the WI sectional level. Great courses for some of these sectional. And the Blackhawk Country Club was at. I saw a putt on the 18th green. You know that green, that par 3?
Yeah.
It kind of slopes from the parking lot down to the golf course.
Yeah.
Man, I saw a kid literally just barely put the putter on the ball, and it rolled 5 feet by. And so those greens were in perfect condition. That's why I'm hopeful that what we have out here at U Ridge is an indication of that. And then North Shore Country Club in Mequon hosted a sectional for, I think, the first time. I can't find any record of them ever hosting. Boy, was that course in great condition. And it's a former State Open venue, recent State Open venue. Those kids are spoiled, Gary. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Spoiled.
They are spoiled. They get on some great venues. Unlike when we were playing high school golf, Rob, it's a lot different. But, of course, they're a lot better than we were, too. So more power to them.
Now, a little controversy in the high school ranks this week with some scoring issues, and one of them resulted in a team playoff this morning. Jim Kelsch and I went down to Janesville Riverside, just posted the entire video of the whole one-hole playoff between Milton and Mequonago. Milton wins 21-24. Initially, they were not in the state tournament, but there was a scoring issue with one of the number four golfer from Mequonago. The hole by hole adds up to 85, but the computer spit out 81. I like that computer, and I'd like to have that computer, you know, score more of my matches. But that was not the right way to end that. And to the WA's credit, after, you know, much discussion, they brought the guys back and let them play it off on the golf course. But there's nothing quite like a team playoff in high school golf. 10 guys on the same hole, and in this case, all fighting to go to the state tournament. That is the ultimate, I think, in terms of what's at stake in a playoff when you have 10 guys on one hole.
And that's incredible, Rob. You got to witness it. And I'm really glad that the WIAA thought this through and did the right thing, because there was a lot of consternation and a lot of negative feedback when they thought they were going to end it the way they were, because of a glitch in the scoring system. So I'm glad they went back, talked it over, and had this playoff.
And because of the outcome, they had to replay the individual playoff for state berths, and a young man from Sun Prairie got through, and he otherwise was not going to state. So a very eventful day down at Janesville Riverside. As soon as we're done recording the podcast, I'll be writing about that as we wait for Jerry Kelly to come and talk to us. And so when we talk about what's up, Gary, there's a lot what's up this week here and as we are at the AmFam Championship, which brings us to what's next. What's next, powered by our Twitter handle at Wis.GolfLive, the place to go for all the scores. And I tell you, you folks have been great. Just eager to hear or see the results from the WIA sectionals. But what's next, Gary, in addition to the AmFam Championship this week, next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to be busy. I'll be at the state tournament with Jim Kelsch up at Wisconsin Dells, Divisions 2 and 3 at Trapper's Turn, Division 1 at Wild Rock, two great venues for that. Normally that tournament would be right where we're standing here at University Ridge, but due to COVID, that won't be the case. I tell you, I'm impressed with the level of talent. You know, you saw a kid at the Mac Fund Invitational at Erin Hills named Michael Addy out of Hamilton, Sussex. And I got to see him shoot a 68 the other day at North Shore Mequon. Again, tough venue. These kids have no fear, and they're not afraid to go low, let alone, you know, hit the ball a long way. I like where the state of the high school game is, and I can't wait to see what happens next week. You just got done playing in the Dells a couple weeks ago. You know what these kids are in for.
Yeah, both courses were in great shape. Wild Rock is one of my favorites. Trapper's Turn is fantastic. They're in for a treat. They get to play some great venues in the state tournament. And another thing that's what's up, Rob, we can add that we're almost getting run over by golf carts here at University Ridge.
We sure are. Boy, it's a, and I tell you, for, you know, again, we're only going to have, what is it, 7,500 on the grounds each day, but this is Pro-Am Day, and there's a lot of activity, you know, coming and going. So that is, we are keeping an eye out to make sure that the drivers are keeping an eye out for us. So, but there's nothing like recording talking.golf with golf carts in the background. It doesn't get more real than that, does it?
How can they miss us in our team, in our Wisconsin.golf team unis, Rob?
Yeah, we look like a barbershop pole. what's next? The Wisconsin State Women's Open up at the Lynx course at Lasonia. You'll be up there Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll join you on Wednesday. After seeing what I saw this week with, honestly, with Sarah Busey out of Racine and Amy Kucera, you know, every year it cycles in a new level of confident, accomplished college-age golfers on the men's side, the women's side. And I know both will be up there. Sarah, after jet setting out to Santa Clara this weekend to be graduate from college at Santa Clara University. She's on her way as a grad transfer to Old Dominion. And Amy Kucera is going to start a sweet job working for MITRE out in Virginia as an engineering type person. They were fairways and greens all day. And then you throw in, you know, some of the others that'll be competing in what's always the strongest field of the year for the women's game at the State Open and a classic golf course. How do you think Lasonia will fit, you know, the eye of, you know, the women's golfers here for a State Open, especially the way we know that's normally set up?
It'll be a tough venue for them. But still, I expect good scores because, you know, you look at the State Women's Open when it began 28 years ago, yeah, around there. There were maybe six or seven women who were very competitive and shot good scores. Now you can triple that number. There's, you know, 20 women who are shooting great scores.
Yep.
It's going to be a very competitive event. It'll be a tough course, though. Those greens are massive, 2- and 3-tiered, big sloping, massive greens. So I look for someone who's really putting well to hitting approach shots well, you know, into sections of greens and then putting well to contend in the State Women's Open.
And an open championship, of course, for those that, you know, don't follow golf closely, includes amateurs and professionals. There aren't very many professionals that'll be teeing it up next week, Gary, but one that will, I saw running the boys sectional over at Blackhawk the other day, Britt McNett Emmerich, and I only bring her up because in a section event about a week ago, it was a team event, but then, you know, the pros play their own ball. She shot a 69. And so, again, you never know when you're going to get a good score out of, you know, someone who's, you know, right now, you know, a lot busier behind the counter than she is on the tee box. But you know, that'll be interesting. And the other trend I saw this week at the State Women's Match Play, a lot of high school kids, especially young high school kids, entering these big tournaments to test themselves. They're, you know, they may get their lunch handed to them, but, you know, that's how you get better. And I know there's a bunch in the field next week, too. So all ages, you know, that's, again, open means open, Gary. You and I theoretically could enter an open championship.
Let's not go there.
Yeah. But we also have a little bit of common sense, so we much prefer covering the open championships than to playing in them. Gary, that wraps up what's next here. What's next, powered by our Twitter handle for results at wis.golflive. It's been a bevy of activity with all the high school sectionals, and we'll continue to be that this weekend as we have the AmFam Championship here. I saw OJ Farrell of Marquette's going to play in the BMW Championship on the Corn Ferry Tour this week, and I know Jordan Hahn's out there. I'm not sure if he's in the field yet. I saw Jordan Niebrugge at North Shore Mequon the other day, and he said he was second alternate, was planning to fly out. It's a celebrity type tournament, so we may have some other scores there. And I know Casey Danielson will be teeing it up this week up at the event in Northern Michigan, so we've got a lot going on here this week, but that's what's next. And we wrap up with the Ryder Cup report, powered by Kohler Golf. And Gary, I think you had the best topic for the Ryder Cup report this week. Bryson and Brooks and Steve Stricker's opinion of the two. I it was interesting. I think he said it best. They're not making his life or his job any easier. Would you care to elaborate exactly on what Mr. Stricker meant by that? Captain Stricker, I should say. And how do you think the captain's going to handle two very, very different personalities.
Yeah, this is potentially a problem for Steve, and he knows it. He's concerned about it. You know, it's entertaining to go on social media and see the tweets that are flying back and forth and all the people weighing in on this subject. But when you talk about the Ryder Cup competition and getting two guys who genuinely don't like each other in the team room together, I mean, Steve has to handle this very carefully. He hasn't talked to them yet, but he wants to talk to them, sit down with them and say, look, you know, put your everything aside for this week. We can't have outliers in the team room. For the sake of Team USA, let's get together, say the right things, do the right things, be good teammates, even if you don't care for each other. Just do the right things this week. And, you know, the U.S. has had a hard enough time beating Europe in this thing when there's harmony in the team room.
Yeah.
When there's not harmony, it's potentially a problem. So I think Steve's got the right approach. He joked that he might want to ask to get paired with both of those guys. I don't know if I'd want to stand between them, though.
That would be something to see. Well, we'll continue to follow that, and of course, we'll continue to follow all the things going on with the Ryder Cup and the run-up to Whistling Straits here in September. Gary, I think that if we don't end the podcast now, we run with Jerry Kelly a threat to be in the in our zip code. We even with our barbershop pole T-shirts or golf shirts here, he may not hesitate to run into us. So I think we should call it a week and. Also tell everybody that we're going to do this in an abbreviated fashion each of the next three nights as we round up each day's action at the AmFam Championship. So we'll limit it to AmFam talk the next couple days, but I have a feeling we're going to have a lot to talk about.
We'll have plenty to talk about, 3 days in a row, and it'll be fun. Thanks,
all right. Rob. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf. Talking.Golf sponsored by the American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. That's right. The championship is back on the schedule in 2021. It is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here at University Ridge Golf Course, and we'll be talking golf all weekend long with the help of our sponsor, American Family Insurance Championship. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. We'll talk golf again tomorrow after round one of the AmFam Championship.